grand?
Yes, yes.
Amen. Won't it be grand?
Oh,
won't it be grand? Won't it be grand?
Let those refuse to sing who never knew our God.
Yes.
But the children of the heavenly King, they speak their joy of the Lord.
Yes.
Come
Yeah.
they speak their joys abroad.
Verses numbers 1 through 7. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust.
Surely He shall deliver me from the snares of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence.
He shall cover me with His feathers, and under His wings shall I trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler.
Thou shalt not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flieth by day.
Nor of the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday.
A thousand shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Amen. And the word of God is already blessed. Amen. At this time, Pastor Clark will be coming before us with our family prayer.
Right now, we ask that you look beyond our faults and meet us at our needs. Somebody needs you for one thing and somebody needs you for another thing. But Father God, we ask as a family that you meet us right now so that we can stand up and be that which you've called us to be. So we can be an accompaniment, a significance to the body of Christ. Father God, we ask you right now that many, Father God, are our affliction. But Father God, we ask you never leave us nor forsake us. We need you, oh Father God.
Yes.
Father God, right now, where's the bereaved family right now? Someone that's lost someone in their family. We ask, oh God, that you would just be a strong comfort. Because we know that earth has no sorrow that heaven can't heal. We ask that you strengthen the family in the midst of their sorrow right now, in the midst of their grief right now. And then while you have their utmost attention, Father God, make yourself known, real known to them right now. Comfort them in the midnight hour, Father God. Everyone has gone and they don't know which way to turn. Father God, give them peace that surpasses all understanding. Father God, somebody is struggling with an infirmity, a sickness right now. Father God, some of us don't even know the sickness that we have yet, Father God. But Father God, you know all things and you are a strong healer. You are a balm in Gilead right now. The Bible says that by your stripes we are healed. That's why we ask, oh Father God, that it dispense just from the hem of your garment a healing for your people right now. If any one of your people are confined to a hospital bed, we ask, oh God, that you'll go to fill the hospital room right now, control the hands of the provider right now, that they make the right decision for your child right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, right now, someone needs you to make a way out of no way. And we know that you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Father God, we know that you have cattle on 1,000 hills. And in your house, there are many mansions. And if it were not so, you would have told us so. So that's why we ask, Father God, make a way out of no way. Enlarge our territory, not for us just individually, but for New Jerusalem corporately. Right now, in the name of Jesus, enlarge our territory on every front, Father God. Equip us so that we are able to do that which you've called us to do. Equip us physically, mentally, and spiritually, psychologically, right now, in the name of Jesus. Make a way out of no way. Father God, we know that the battle is not yours, but it's yours. But it's not ours, but it's yours, oh Lord. Father God, we know we have many fights right now. You said that when the devil comes in on us like a flood, that you would raise a standard against him. Father God, you told us to just learn to stand still and watch the salvation of the Lord. So Father God, that's why we come to ask you right now that our enemies have surpassed around us and they seek to devour our flesh right now. Sometimes we feel like throwing in the towel. We get spiritually frustrated and physically tired right now. But Father God, when we get like that, we ask that you allow the spirit man and woman on the inside of us to take dominance in our life. And remember the words that you have said to us, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty to the tearing down of strongholds right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, let us know that you don't let anything rise up in our life that is a surprise to you. That you said you might have brought us up to say, look at my servant. So Father God, allow us to be able to preach to ourselves, encourage ourselves in you, O Lord, because we know that we're in the last and evil days, and even the elect of God will give up and fail. Don't let us be one of those people, Father God. Father God, when we feel like going and we ask you, break us off a little something. Show us that you're still on our side, that the delay of our prayer is not means of denial. So, Father God, we ask you, bless us right now. If there's something right now, oh God, that I did not pray or I did not mention in this prayer, we ask, oh Father God, that you allow your Holy Spirit, that comforter, paraclete right now, that you've given us. Let him make intercession for us and utter utterings that we don't know how to utter. Because, Father God, you know what we need and when we need it. And, Father God, while we wait on you, as we end this prayer, while we wait on you, Father God, give us a spirit of thankfulness in the midst of the storm. Father, give us a spirit of thankfulness right now in the midst of our circumstances and situation. Because we know when the praises go up, the blessings will come down. Father God, help us not to worry about the rain and the thunder and the lightning right now. But help us to continue to press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. If you do this for us, oh Father God, we be so very careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Lord, bless us right now. Bless your people. In Jesus' name we pray. And all who love the Lord say amen. Amen. And amen. Put your hands together, God, our heavenly Father.
Thank you. I won't let go my faith. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome everybody back into the sanctuary this morning. It's so good to be here. God has been better to us. We've been to ourselves. And we come here to just give him some praise and worship to it for us, right? From us to him, because he is worthy. Let's look at ourselves, govern ourselves according to some of these announcements here. Let's remember we're celebrating, we're observing Black History Month. I say observe. I say observe because we celebrate being Black every day.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to take the month they want to give us, but I ain't going to stop us the rest of the month, but we're going to make big time this month. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to observe our Black history. Let's take celebrate our rich heritage that we have, right?
Amen.
Happy birthday to all born in the month of February.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Prayer meeting and Bible study will be held this Tuesday. We will resume February 15th at 6 p.m., y'all. Please join us in with us for it. We have a grand time. The call-in number is on the back of the program.
Yes, yes.
Amen?
Amen?
We will celebrate our rich heritage on next Sunday, February 20th, during the morning worship service. So make sure you wear your African attire, okay?
Amen.
Amen. Look real good next Sunday. Y'all look good right now, but look even at you good.
Amen.
Next Sunday, we're going to put on our African attire. Amen?
Amen.
Let us continue to pray for all the sick and the shut-in and the bereaved. Amen? And we know that prayer changes things. We know prayer still works.
Yeah.
And New Jerusalem, believing in praying, yeah, prayer still works.
Amen.
Amen. And we're going to just keep on praying. We're not praying for the results. We're not worried about the results. We're going to get the prayer requests at New Jerusalem. But we're just going to be consistent. Amen. And faithful about praying.
Yeah.
We're going to trouble the mercy seat every chance we get.
My Lord.
Amen. Amen. I don't know about you. I just have to call him and tell him to help me keep my mouth quiet sometimes. Amen. Because they be messing with a brother sometimes, and sometimes you want to lose your patience. But I've learned to have long patience as long as I keep praying and be long suffering. Amen.
Yes.
Let God do his thing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, we want to congratulate Sister Angela Brown, because she has been promoted as financial assistant in the Seaboard Baptist Association.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. New Jerusalem is being recognized greatly in our district.
Yes.
So we say congratulations again, Sister Brown.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Just be faithful of a few things. God make you a ruler over many. He sure will. I want to say congratulations and thanks and honors to Sister Morrison for her great 6th annual address.
Amen.
Amen. We thank those who are on the Zoom. Amen. She did a fine job.
Amen.
Amen. I was right there. I know I saw. Uh-huh. She was showing her little self. Ah. Amen. In the spirit she was, amen. She did an excellent job, and she represented the Seaboard and New Jerusalem very well. Amen. I preached on Thursday,
amen.
And I thank God for that.
Yeah.
And I thank all those who amen. I thank God for my moderator, who's also my pastor, I'm a spiritual son, and the Seaboard for the support they have given me as a, I would still say, I've been, this is my 7th year now, Sister Thomas.
Amen.
I still feel like I'm the youngest one around here.
Amen.
So I say, as a young pastor, they are very, very encouraging towards me. Amen. I mean, everybody came to hear me, Sister Morrison, on Thursday, but Pastor said some things that really put the wind beneath my wings towards me.
Amen.
I thank God for him. Amen?
Yes.
I thank God. It was a blessing to be there. And Sister Marcy, she talked about, I'll tell you this much, she said, we see her because we are Zooming, right? But you don't know the things the devil try to do or things that go on while we're around us while we're in the Zoom. You don't see that. Okay, and there was things going on, nothing bad, but things were going on that could have just interrupted the thing. Amen? Amen. And the same thing happened for me, Sister Morrison. I just waited until it was old to tell you about it. But I normally am a different job site, and I'm able to go into my office. And because that's just early, and I'm able to shut that thing down, and nobody didn't bother me. But I couldn't do that. that day, and I was really, oh boy, it took the Holy Ghost. I was in the middle of a warehouse, okay? And I had to find a spot that I can just seclude myself, but the noise was still there.
Yeah.
And everyone was still, I was just surrounded by some boxes. Now as God was coming and enveloped the place.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that. Amen?
Right.
Amen. You couldn't tell it by looking at the Zoom, but God allows you to go through sin. He makes you focus.
Yeah.
Okay? You learn how to focus and
yes.
Every now and then he promotes us, yes. Sister Ophelia, yes. He promotes us to another level that we're not just new at what we're doing, but become very experienced and just delete every little thing, don't bother you anymore. Amen? I thank God for it. It's been a blessing. Blessed week. It's been a tiring week, but God has been good. He's been faithful.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
He's been a faithful God. Let's keep the Thomas and the Greer family in prayer because they have lost some family members this week. Amen?
Amen.
Let's keep that family in prayer. Amen?
Yeah. Amen?
Amen. And that's a praying family, so we know all things. But work out well. But we're going to join them in prayer because we know that there's power in agreement. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. I don't think I've forgotten anything. Amen. I'm enjoying myself. Just coming to church like ours, I'm enjoying myself even more so now that I say it again. Pastor got kind of a little bit of kind of company. And I thank God for, especially in the office where we pray. And I thank God for you guys being here early. We get here early enough so we can pray before we go into the service. Amen.
Amen.
We run the devil out before we get in there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I think I've covered anything. I don't think we got no visitors. And no, everybody that's at home today, thank God for you. Amen. Amen. It's offering time.
Praise the Lord.
Let's bring all the tithes in the storehouse, the Bible says, and say, prove me now, child of God, and see, don't I open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive. Giving is a part of worship. God mandates it in his word that we bring on the tithes in the storehouse. He tells us to try him and see. Don't he open up the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing that we cannot receive. But he also said he'll rebuke the devil for our sake.
Yes.
So be faithful, children of God. Walk by faith, not by sight. We're not all what we want to be. All can get what we want to get. But walk by faith and not by sight. Call those things that are not as if they are, and watch God move on your behalf. Amen? Amen. Let's bless this offering in advance. Heavenly Father, right now, as we come to get this offering unto you, the tithe, the offering, we ask, oh Father God, that you continue to bless your people. Father God, right now, we ask that you would continue to make a way out of no way for your people. Father God, right now, we ask you bless the head of every household under the sound of my voice. Father God, right now we ask that you come against the spirit of poverty and failure in the lives of your people. And let the spirit of prosperity, Father God, and success breathe within their life. Father God, every place they put their foot, let them claim it as their ground. Everything they put their hands to, let it turn around and become successful. Father God, we realize that sometimes you will close things. It looks like you will allow doors to close in our face. Father God, we are more learned to know that you're not being upset with us, that you just don't want us to go that way. And you can, if you close a door, you can roll up a barn door. And we thank you for that. We thank you right now, Father God, that you would bless this offering, multiply it right now, what is about to be given. Let it be used for the betterment and the building of your kingdom. And we turn it back to your people, Father God, as they give it to you sevenfold, God. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Father God, bless us right now. And when giving days are over, save us a place anywhere in your kingdom will be just all right with us. And all the love of the Lord say amen,
amen,
amen. Amen.
Let the glory of the Lord. Let the praises of our King, God of glory. You've been talking.
said,
you must, you must, you must, you must, you must, you must, you must carry my burden of trouble.
I must say,
to the Lord, thank you. To God, thank you.
Thank you,
Lord.
Prophecy of Isaiah chapter 53.
Yeah.
Shining some on the spotlight on verses 1 through 6. Verses 1 through 6 of Isaiah chapter 53. Let's pray. But Lord God, I ask you, it's your name in all the earth. Father God, we have done that as you have commanded.
Right now, Lord.
You told us, don't come into your sanctuary without a sacrifice of praise. Amen. We have come in, Father God, and given you our praise.
Yes.
In spite of where we are.
Thank you, Lord.
But Father God, we know we need a word from you.
Yeah.
And without a word from you, oh God, what would we do? Heaven and earth would pass away, but your word will never pass away. Father God, we need you right now. Give us a rhema word. Tailor-made, fit for the circumstance and situation for which your people are going through at this present time. Father God, anoint our minds afresh. Anoint every seat in the place. Give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Father God, make this word plain enough so the child can understand it. And draw back the draperies of misunderstanding.
Thank you, Lord.
Father God, we perish for lack of knowledge. Father God, we ask you to impart your knowledge towards us, bind Satan as he goes to and fro, trying to snatch the word of knowledge away from your people. He knows, oh Father God, there's power in your word.
Yes, sir.
So Father God, we ask you for your word right now, so we are able to walk right, so we be able to stronger, so we can restore our faith in you. Speak to our hearts, Lord Jesus, right now. Your people, oh Father God, needs you. Father God, use me in spite of me. Hide me behind the cross. Don't allow them to see me, but allow them to see your son, Jesus, and him crucified right now in the name of Jesus. And Father, whatever's accomplished in this setting, we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Speak, Lord, for your people hear it. Isaiah chapter 53, commencing at the first verse. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He had no form, no comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised. He is despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Wish I had some Bible readers in here. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid on him the iniquity of us all. I want to draw my subject and topic for my thesis today from verse 5. Let me read it again. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, y'all, we are healed.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
Glory.
And we know that God's word is already blessed. I like to give this topic plainly. Sister Thomas, he was bruised for me. He was bruised for me. May take his seats in the presence of the Lord. He was bruised for me. Let's say that to yourself a couple times and you'll think about it. I can seldom, y'all, read that passage of scripture.
Thank you, Lord.
Without almost shouting.
Amen.
He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes
we are healed.
In Shakespeare's Macbeth, Lady Macbeth, trying to wash her hands of her part in the murder of King Duncan, Lady Macbeth, trying to wash the spot out, says, "Out, damn spot, out, I say. Here is the smell of blood on my hands. All the perfumes of Arabia will not sweeten this hand." And as Macbeth sees his wife coming apart under that distress, Macbeth says to a doctor, "Canst thou not minister a mind that's diseased? Pluck from the memory a rooted sorrow, raise out the ridden troubles of the brain, and with some sweet oblivious antidote, cleanse the stuffed bosom of that perilous stuff which weighs upon the heart." Every one of us, like Macbeth, wishes for some sweet oblivious antidote to soothe us concerning our sin.
Well,
we self-medicate. We self-medicate to pluck from our memory a rooted sorrow. We self-medicate to erase a troubled past, an unconfessed or an unforgiven sin. And we use as some sweet oblivious antidote entertainment, sex, drugs, working overtime, one failed relationship after another, achievement, what we've earned, we try to use, where we live, what we drive, what we own, as some sweet oblivious antidote to deaden the pain of our empty existence. Our human nature is radically twisted into an instinctive yet deliberate and erratical habit of God denying, God defying self-service, so that God's requirement of perfect love to himself and others is permanently beyond our reach and falling short of God's standard. Marks our lives. Our lives are marked every day. So in order to keep from total psychological, moral, and spiritual schizophrenia, we shift the blame. It is as old as the Garden of Eden. We blame somebody else for the mess we have made of our own lives. We are all trapped in the consequences that we did not intend, but nevertheless, the consequences that we set in motion. Every one of us looks at something in the past and agonize by saying, "If only, if only I had not done so and done so and so. If only I can go back in the past and erase the mistakes that I have made. If I could make enough money, if I could live in a bigger house, if I could drive a faster car, if I could get rid of my prison record, if I would not have had that divorce, if I would not have gotten pregnant, if I would not have gotten myself addicted to drugs, if I had not told that lie, if I had not cheated." Are y'all with me? If I had not committed adultery, if I had not gone astray, if I had not misused God's blessing in my life, if only, brothers and sisters, if we have to answer for what we've done, if we would have had to answer for what all we have done, all of us would be crushed this morning. But he was bruised and wounded. My life doesn't have to be filled with regrets. My past does not have to keep haunting me every day. Because he was bruised and wounded for my transgressions. He was on him, not me. He put it on Jesus. And with his stripes, I got healed. All we like city, I'm in the book, have gone astray. I don't care how much you read the Bible. I don't care how often you show up to church on Sunday morning. I don't care how big the cross is or you wear around your neck. All we like sheep. Your sin may not be my sin. Your issue may not be my issue. But all of us struggle with some sin issue this morning. And all of us need the help and hope. We need help and hope. But he was bruised and wounded for my transgression. I want to look at this thing and go to this thing just like it is. Just how it is in the book. Of the suffering servant. Isaiah chapter 53, y'all. And chapter 52. It's a song that starts in Isaiah chapter 52. And 13, 14, and 15. It is the preamble. It is the opening lyrics to the song. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred, more than any man, his throne more than any son of man. So he shall sprinkle many nations. The king shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they have not heard they shall consider. So who has believed our report? Who has believed this message? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? He shall come forth as a tender plant, and as a rooted root, rooted out of the dry ground. Without Christ, New Jerusalem, our lives are a dry ground. I need somebody who's been a Christian a long time, somebody who's been a Christian a little while, but who will be honest with me this morning, that there has been in your life and in mine some dry spells. Can I get a witness up in here? You try to pray and your mind just wanders off. You try to walk right, but you're just going through the motions. You come to church and sing the songs, but you don't feel anything because there's a dry spell in your life. I hope I'm speaking to somebody in there. I've had those periods in my life, Dean Johnson, when I just went through the motions. I came to church and really didn't feel anything or even feel like being there. There are times when you just clap because everybody else is clapping. Or you nod your head because everybody else is nodding their head. Life will send some situations in your way that will cause you to have a dry spell. But thank you, Jesus. He comes forth as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. Let me make that a little clear. I'm saying that when you think you all by yourself and you can't find no rest or relaxation, God will pop up in the middle of a hopeless situation. And he will make himself known to you. Bible say, Prophet Isaiah said, he will come up like a plant in the middle of dry ground. It's that dry time in your life that Jesus Christ shows up to sweeten your bitter water. You have to be honest about sin before you can rejoice about some salvation. You have to be ready to admit that I'm no good. I'm a crook. I'm a liar. I'm a wretch undone. I'm a fake. Come on, church, talk back to me. Here I am talking. I'm sitting in church, but I got a mask on. I know you look good. You don't see who I really am because I have covered it up with this necktie and this stoop. But underneath all this stuff and that pretty dress and wig and weave you got on, it's a crook, a wretch. I haven't killed anybody, Deacon Cook, but I have murdered them in my heart. I haven't committed adultery, Deacon. in my heart. Because I'm a wretch unto him. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. Now for the super saints, y'all ain't got no drama going on in your life. God bless you. I guess you ought to pray for the rest of us. Because some of us who don't mind testifying, if God pull the cover off of us, if God open up the closet on us, all our skeletons would fall out right now. For my transgression, bruised for my iniquities. I want to sing it like Isaiah said it. He talks about his suffering Christ. Christ was a suffering servant. He suffered at the hands of soldiers. Y'all ain't hearing me? Walk with me. Walk with Pastor now. Check this out, Deacon Fellow. A death on the cross is the most horrible form of execution known to man, known to mankind. We derive our word excruciating from the word crucifixion. On the cross, tremendous strain was exerted on the wrist, arms, and shoulders. Got nails going through your wrist. I know you think it's through the hands. That's not where the nails went. Think about it. If they put the nails in the hands, the body will rip right through the finger skin. They put it in your wrist. So the joint holds your hand and your body in place. On the cross, its tremendous strain was exerted on the wrist, arms, and shoulder, usually resulting in the dislocation of the shoulders and the dislocating of the elbow joints. The hours on the cross, the arms being held up and outward, held that rib cage in a position which made it extremely difficult to exhale and totally impossible to take a deep breath. Your muscles, from the loss of blood and oxygen, would undergo severe cramps and spasmodic contractions until the one being crucified suffocated in his own fluids. That lasted for days. Could last for days. To hasten the death, they would come and break the crucified's legs. The pool of fluids that congealed around the heart caused heart failure while you were still alive. The one being crucified would try to take a deep breath, but to exhale would cause pressure on his feet that were nailed. Inhaling caused on his hands that they were nailed, and he would drown, suffocate in his own fluids. When they got to Jesus, follow the pastor, to break his legs, the scripture was fulfilled. Not a bone of his should be broken. He was numbered with the transgressors. Cursed is he that hangs on a tree. Hear him. Watch this now, y'all. Hear him. See him. Suffering, Jesus. Since Thomas, he cannot exhale. Impossible for him to take a deep breath. Short breaths. He's taking short breath. He said, realize, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I thirst. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. For then a thief on the cross said, when you come into your kingdom, Lord, remember me. Hear Jesus saying, rarely, this day, you will be with me in paradise. And when they get ready to kill him. Watch me now. Scripture again is fulfilled. No man take my life. I lay it down. Before they can kill him, Jesus said, it is finished. But worse than that, worse than that suffering, Jesus suffered at the hands of sovereignty. Because his father turned his back on him. God poured out his wrath into the body of his son, Jesus. And Jesus suffered the undiluted, unfiltered wrath of the Almighty God. Hell was turned loose on Jesus and all of its ferociousness. Hell hounds beat their chests with glee, for the Son of Man now is dead. I want to tell you something. My daddy, Reverend Dr. Philip Clark, used to imagine a conversation between hell and the grave. He would say, Deacon John, he said, death got a hold of Jesus on the cross. Death and the grave converse one to another. Death said to the grave, I got him. Grave, can you hold him? The grave said to death, you do your job on Friday. I will do my job once they put it in the grave. On Friday, death did his job. He died. Didn't he die, y'all?
Yes.
They took his body down and put him in the grave of Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph and Nicodemus bring Jesus to the grave. Then daddy said, death said to the grave, can you hold him?
Come on, sir.
Death said to the grave, everybody you got, everybody I got since Adam is still in the grave. You got Adam, and I still got him. You killed Abraham, death. I still got him. You took Noah, death. I still got him. Death. You took Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Amos, and Habakkuk. And I still got them. Everybody who died in the Old Testament, I still got them. Hey, death, you killed John the Baptist. I still got him. Do your job. I'll take care of the rest. They put Jesus, y'all, in the grave and sealed it with a stone. He stayed there all Friday night, y'all. Stayed there all day Saturday, and there all Saturday night. About that time in the church when I was going through, Sister Abigail Heather would get up in the front seat and start jumping up and down. Mother Stewart would just start screaming. If you had not moved the entire service, if you had not, you have any bit of Jesus in your life, you would have to get to your feet with the rest of the church because you knew what Pastor Philip Clark was getting ready to say next. You know what he's getting ready to say, right? Bright and early. Early. Sunday morning. He got up from the grave with all power. Suffering servant. I want you to know a price had to be paid. The price of a transfer had to be made. The voices of the New Jerusalem choir, the voices of New Jerusalem sings it so beautifully. I am redeemed. Bought with a price. Jesus has changed my whole life. Early Sunday morning, a transfer was made. He got up out of the grave. A price had to be paid because we had to be redeemed. In order to exact redemption, a price had to be paid. The only way for it to be transferred from a state of bondage with no hope to a state of freedom with a future, blood had to be shed. And so, if you're here this morning looking for some oblivious sweet antidote to rid you of your sin problem, you're not going to find it in achievement. You're not going to find it in entertainment. You're not going to find it in working overtime and making more money. You're not going to find it in sex and drugs. You're not going to find an obliviously antidote in illicit relationships and affairs. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, in order for us to be redeemed, blood had to be shed. I'm not talking about the blood of bullocks on the altar, not the blood of rams, consecration and rams without spot and blemish that covered sin. That covered sin, but it did not take it away. There's a difference. Listen now, listen. There's a difference between propitiation and expiation. That's propitiation and expiation. Expiation means the sin has been covered. But propitiation means not only has the sin been covered, but it's been also taken away. And the relationship has been repaired and restored. Are y'all with me? Outside of Christ, I am the enemy of God. But since Christ shed his blood on the cross for us, I'm no longer, we're no longer God's enemies. I can become God's friend. The blood of Jesus is effectuous for my sin problem. Whenever I sin, notice, I didn't say if I sin. I say whenever I sin. Because I did it yesterday, I sinned yesterday. Talk back to me, somebody. I thought about something, you thought about something that shouldn't have been on your mind. Or you did something that had no business, you had no business doing. Or you wish you could have done something that you had no business doing. I wish I had some honest people. You see, the reason why some of us can't shout is because we think that we're pretty good. And because we don't know what your issue is, we don't know it. You think you got it all together. But God knows what's going on in your mind and in your heart. That's why you need to plead the blood of Jesus to help you with your sin issue. He died on the cross to redeem me from my sin problem. And I thank God this morning, y'all. Whatever sin the devil brings up, Jesus took care of it on the cross. Whatever the devil accused me of this morning, Jesus is on the right hand of God with power, saying, I already died to take care of that situation. And that's why I can raise my hands in the sanctuary. That's why I can praise God with a clear conscience, because the Bible says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. I wish I had somebody this morning who don't mind testifying. I got some scars on my back, some sins on my record. There's some things I wish I could undo in my past. There are some words I wish I could take back in my mouth. There's some deeds, deacons, I wish I could go in my past and erase. But one Friday morning on a skull-shaped hill called Golgotha, and on a blood-soaked cross, Jesus died. Didn't he die? He died. Didn't he die? To save us from all our sins. And early Sunday morning, Jesus got up from the grave with all power in his hand, y'all. That's what makes the saints shout today. That's what makes the Christian happy this morning. That our sins have been erased. My first has been forgiven. My sin has been forgiven. You can ever bring it up for me again. He can't, nobody can bring it up, because God took my sin and threw it behind his back and put it into the sea of forgetfulness. Can I get it with it? Put it into the sea of forgiveness, and it will never rise again to condemn me again. So I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm happy this morning. I'm happy this morning. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. Jerusalem. It was there. It was there by faith. I received my sight. But when you think about that, he was bruised and wounded for our iniquities. We didn't have to suffer the death of the cross. More than that, we didn't have to go to eternal hell. I thank God. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God that he was wounded and bruised for our iniquities. Put your hands together and give God a thank you.
Oh!
personal Savior. The Bible says now is the set of time, now is the day of salvation. Hear God's voice, harden not your heart. The word of God has just went forth and is speaking to someone who do not know the Lord as their personal Savior. You don't have no more time. You don't have any other time or any day. Now is the set of time. You're not guaranteed the next 15 or 10 or 5 more minutes. You need to accept God now as your personal Savior. If you know the Lord and you can walk in contrary to His will, you don't want to take time for God. You don't want to pray to God. And you know the Lord. God said, that's okay. You have forgotten me, but I have not forgotten about you. He said that you don't have to worry about it. Rededicate your life back to me. I'm married to the backslider. He said that give me back your life. Rededicate your life back to me. And he said that. He said, yes, I was bruised and wounded for you also. If you're someone that wanted to join up with the ministry of the Jerusalem Missionary Baptist Church, you can do it at this time. We accept you at this time. Okay? We'll accept you just as you are. This is a place where the word of God is powerful and our worship is passionate. So we ask you right now to go. Yes, you are. Is there one today? God has wanted you to stay faithful. Okay? He's given you a word to let you know I'm still the same God yesterday, today, and forever. Yeah. Amen? Amen. Amen. For our hearts and minds are ready. We're ready to go. Amen. Fellowship of His Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us both now and forevermore. Let the church say,
God has spoken.